Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
You know, tonight I'm looking forward to doing something a little different. It's okay if we do something a little different tonight. For those who are not here for the first time, for those who have been here many times on a Sunday night or maybe a Sunday morning, the format's going to be a little different. So I'm going to invite three people up to the stage, leaders in their own right. So I'm going to invite Atta, if you can come on up, and Kara and Jason, come on up. And myself and these three wonderful human beings, we're going to share the floor tonight, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And as they come up, actually, if I could get a hand, we won't need this one, so we can pop that one out of the way. Thank you to those who are moving things around for us. And as Paul said, all the stuff that happens to make all of this happen. So thank you, Dorcas, by the way. It's beautiful what you're doing in the background there. And but you've been up here for a long time, so don't feel that you have to stay up here. But you can if you want to. Let's do it differently. It's up to you, but thank you so much. So I'm just going to quickly intro who I'm sitting here with tonight. Some of you will know them, or maybe you've seen their face in this building or outside of this building, but you're maybe not sure of exactly who they are. So if it's okay, I'm going to do a short intro, and then you're actually going to hear a lot from these guys and from me, but more so these guys. So to my right and your left, this is Jason. Jason, give everyone a wave. Jason is part of our young adults. He's out on the street. He's part of the street evangelism team and so faithful. And I've really enjoyed seeing some incredible growth in you, Jason, and a boldness. And you're just so faithful. Like, you're up here worshiping and unashamedly. And I just wanted, you know, it's a big part of the reason why God highlighted that you have something to share tonight in the topic that we're going to be speaking about. So this is Jason, and to my left and your right, a dear friend of mine, Kara. And Kara, I've known actually Kara and her husband Raga for quite some time, and we have been in church for some time together, and even before being here in Fire Church, we were in the same church together at our previous church some number of years ago. And again, Kara's a leader in her own right. You may not know her very well, or maybe you do. You might have seen her singing on stage. You may have heard her hosting a service before. But Kara and her husband, Raghav. Raghav, are you here?
He's running around with the toddler.
Yeah. Oh, there he is in the parents' room. Together, they're an incredible couple, and just, they're not here to be heard, but their life speaks. Your lives speak. But tonight, Kara's up here to be heard. Thank you, Kara, for saying yes to the invitation to come and share on this panel, and to yourself, Jason. And thank you, Atta. So Atta here, on my far left and your far right. Atta and T. Tiara was worship leading tonight. And I know lots of people will know you guys, but Atta, again, you're such a faithful leader in this house in your own right. And it's not you can applaud that. It's not necessarily the stuff we consider the obvious leadership, you know. It's maybe not the obvious leadership, but what God does is He honors the humble, and there's such a humility in Atta, because you may have seen him wearing a blue vest, and he is the guy making sure the ushering stuff happens, and he's serving on the youth team, and he's just, if you get the chance to get to know Atta better, and I think you'll feel that you get to know him a bit better after tonight even, but if you get the chance to get to know him, you won't regret it, let me tell you that. So I invited these three wonderful human beings up to just share from their heart tonight with me on a topic that's very dear to my heart. But I didn't want it to be just from me, because I know, and I could have invited many other people on stage, and you know, there'll be times for where we, you know, in this church, we don't just want to hear from me and Pastor Alex and Pastor Lee and maybe guests here and there. Like, you've got something to share too, yeah? And there's a timing in that. There's a time where God brings that to the readiness. But tonight, we're going to be talking about a topic, as I said, dear to my heart. And it's more of a conversation than a sermon. And it's, why does God want us in church? Why does God want us in church? Now, in a funny way, you're in church right now, right? You're in a church building right now. Or maybe you're watching online. And so it's an unusual thing to say, like, why does God want us in church when you're all the people in church? But, you know, tonight's topic is not so much about how many church services should you attend. Why should you be in the room? It's a little different to that. But I thank you for being here tonight. But we're going to be sharing from our hearts. And also, I just wanted to say, you know, this isn't about telling people that, you know, you've missed the mark. That's not what tonight's about. It's about encouraging one another and understanding the importance of the way God has put us together and coming into the fullness of that. And so I wanted to share a couple of scriptures before I really share the microphone with Jason and Kara and Atta. If you want to come here to some of these scriptures with me, you can. And I know these guys will probably have some scriptures to share as well, along with their testimony. But why does God want us in church? Well, the Bible tells us that He does. And let me just share with you some of the areas that are really clear. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Some of you will know this one. It might even be the one that you think of straight away around this area. It says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together." And some translations will talk about the gathering of the brethren. Mine says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but let us encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." Let us not neglect. So we know we're actually called to not neglect the coming together as believers, as people who love Jesus. You know, that scripture is about people who love Jesus. It's not a call to people who don't know Him yet, who aren't walking with Him yet. It's actually a directional instruction for our benefit. Let us not neglect it. And we're going to just unpack maybe some of the reasons why neglecting it is actually not good for us. And then I go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And it says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. This was Jesus speaking. "And upon this rock," Jesus said, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So God has something to build. Jesus had to lay a foundation. He is the foundation. And upon the rock, He will build His church. He actually doesn't want to build just individual people. He wants to build something really beautiful. There's a bringing together, and there's a great work that He wants to fulfill. We are the church. This building doesn't mean a lot in tonight's conversation. This particular building. I'm so grateful for this venue, but this particular building doesn't mean so much in tonight's conversation. It's about us, the church, God's bride. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are His house." I'm going to just say that word again. "Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him." That word "together" comes twice in those verses. "Becoming a holy temple for the Lord." And I think you know, the becoming is really important. It's not over yet. Becoming a holy temple for the Lord together. And one more scripture before I share the microphone with my friends up here tonight. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It's a pretty big verse for one verse. There's a lot in it. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, and this was Paul and Timothy, a letter that they wrote together in prison. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together. Oh, that is that word again. Standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. So there's a togetherness and then there's a purpose. Together there's a purpose. There's something we are to achieve together. And so I wanted to share some of those things as, I guess, a foundation for tonight's conversation. And these guys are we're gonna share the microphone. It's gonna be very much a conversation. Come along with us. Imagine you're like in the family lounge room together. So I had a couple of questions that I wanted to just sort of direct this conversation. There's so much to unpack, hey. Like there's so much to unpack, and maybe we won't fully unpack all of it tonight. We trust you, Holy Spirit, that what needs to be said tonight will be said. So I wanted to ask each of these, again, leaders in their own right of this house. We happen to be at Fire Church together. Why are you in church? Why do you come here faithfully? Why are you in church? And let's share again with our church family here tonight. Maybe some who have been here for some time and some who could even just be visiting tonight. Why are you each in church? Why do you do this?
Thanks all for coming tonight. It's awesome to have you all here. I also want to honour Pastor Jess, Lee and Alex for your leadership in this house and for faithfully serving here. Give them a round of applause. Absolutely. Come on. Let's go. Also, Cara and Arta and all you guys who serve out here, because that's a sign of what gathering together does. It inspires you to serve in the house of God. You don't just come up here as part of a routine. You come here because of how much you love God and what he's done for you in your life. And it's just such a joy to come together and worship the King together. You know, and when I pondered the question, and just we got a short list through from Jess, and I was looking through, and the scripture started coming to mind that really resonated with my heart when I was thinking of why I do come. And the very first one is from Romans 10, verse 17. It says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And that's in response to the question asked by the prophet Isaiah, and who has believed our report? So the very first time you ever heard of God or anything to do with the gospel was through hearing. You had to hear the word. It was given to you. It was taught to you, spoken or written. And we come here and we hear the word of God taught to us. And that's so important because the teaching of the word was what held the early church together. So immediately after I read that scripture, I was led to the scripture in the book of Acts, the early church after Jesus had ascended to the Father in heaven. And I just wanted to read this little passage. And these two parts are so important. So I'm going to read the first bit afterwards to show you why the church is so important. So this is Acts 2 from verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And the verse I wanted to wait until the end was the verse before in 41, in that 3,000 souls were added to them that day. But look what happened after. They remained steadfast. They didn't just rock up, get the gospel and go, "Awesome, what an awesome day of my life. Now I'm going to turn back and go to what I was doing the day before because, you know, it was something to celebrate temporarily, but now I'm just going to go back and live my life the way I want to." It's not like that with God. He wants relationship with you. Church is another part of that relationship. Like, I'm a single man, but I still have relationships with friends in my life, and I can draw analogies from that. And for those of you who are in relationships, you have a spouse or a partner, a loving person, and you want to spend time with them. Church is a part of spending time with the Father. And He's made a way for you to stay plugged in, to stay connected, to be steadfast, the breaking of bread, the fellowship, the praying for one another. This is all part of it. God's given this house, all the houses, as a gift to you. And when you think of it that way, it's like, oh man, I got to get up early on Sunday, I can't sleep in. It's like, no, I want to come here. I want to see the people I love, that God loves. I want to come alongside you. Are you hurting? Are you sick? I want to pray for you. I want to come alongside you. I want to encourage you. I want to serve you guys. Because we're all children of God, and God loves each of you so much. And when you think of it like this, is what held the thousands that came into the church together. And this is 2,000 years ago. And that's why we have the church today. And that's just so empowering and encouraging when I read that. And I know we can see this happen again today because it's been done before. God's given us the methods. He's given us the recipes, the plans, how it works. And it's all done through love. And that comes by hearing. And that's just, yeah, really empowering.
I'm excited for this conversation because if that's how it started. All right, let's go. So Jason, thank you so much. There's so much in it. I know for you there'd be multiple reasons, right? But that's essentially the essence. Yeah. That's the essence. I'm going to skip answering the question on this one because you guys will be like, well, of course the pastor comes to church. You're the pastor. You should be worried if I'm not here. You should be worried if I have a look on my face of not wanting to be here, yeah. Right? So I'm going to skip me because I really want this to be about your answers. So, Cara, the question was, why do you come to church?
Thanks, Jason. That's a good one to follow. it's actually amazing because a lot of what you spoke is exactly where our heart is as well. And it's amazing because being in church for quite some time, for different seasons, you actually come to church for different reasons. But at the core of it is what you were saying. And I think for us lately, it's been a lot about actually serving. You know, for a long time, especially in youth, I was coming to church to be served and to be filled and to really receive. But we're in that season now where we want to serve. We've seen what the church does. We've seen the good that it brings. We've seen the encouragement, we've seen the love of Jesus being poured out, and so it's our opportunity now to partner with that and be a part of that. And so we love to serve and to be in that. And one of the other reasons as well, and sometimes when you've had one of those weeks where you're just like nothing seems to come together and you get here on a Sunday morning and Taura's up there just worshiping the Lord and you're like, ah, and it's like a reset, you know. It's that reset that we sometimes, it's hard to do on our own, but coming together as a family, we can. It actually says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's what we do when we come together, and that's why I love coming together as a family to sing and to worship and to just have that time of singing in spiritual songs and singing in grace in our hearts to the Lord.
Yeah. So good. And Cara, I don't know if you know this or if any of you know this, but so psychologists know this, therapists, people that are working in that area of especially mental health and our well-being, like take away actually our faith and our spirit beings. If you, like there is benefits for human beings coming together physically for a shared reason. What better reason than the fact that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, right? We, like, if you know that already, you know, there's no other shared value system that's more important than that. But if you think about sporting clubs, singing choirs, like there's a beauty and a benefit to those who participate in that, because it's good for you. It's good for you to be with other human beings with a shared reason, especially if that's a positive reason. So when you're saying like the singing, like I see people that come together to sing together, or it might be singing when their footy team wins the game and everyone sings, and there's an actual power in that, because the people coming together for a shared reason. But how much more power, how much more goodness, how much more benefit that's actually fruitful and eternal when we come together in His name. So it's good for us in every way, actually. I think you just tapped into that. It's good for us in every way, especially when you mentioned that reset. God knew that ahead of time, that we would need this, that we would need to come together. Thanks, Cara. So, Ada, I ask you the same question.
Ooh.
And you know, and you've got a family, you've got a wife, you've got two kids, and another one on the way.
Yep.
Why do you come to church?
Cool. Before I go on, hello, church. Hello to my wife as well. I haven't seen her since Friday. I may or may not have a laundry basket full of clothes. But cool question. Going back to why do I come to church, or why, you know, I'm probably a little bit unprepared than these guys. But for me, it was like, as I asked that question, at first, it was routine.
Routine?
Yeah, it was routine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a Polynesian, I've known church from a baby. And then I thought deeper, and then I was like, I come from a line of church planters, pioneers, and it's just always been part of me. And as I'm here, and as I get married, being married and have a family, it's become not just a routine. It's now lifestyle, and I'm not just coming on a Sunday. I'm doing it at home as well, and it's just overflow what's happening on a Sunday. I'm here to sharpen myself and to surround myself with teachers, with leaders, elders as well, especially elders, and also the young end as well, like being part of youth as well and being in that ministry. Man, the youth, like, they teach me a lot as well. It makes me want to come to church. It makes me want to level up as well. I've got a young family, and you know, they're teaching me of what I'm going to be expecting in the future as well, or what I'm going to be putting my daughter in. And it's also community. It's so important to be part of, like, this community. Like, I prioritize this community. I play rugby. I'm a homeschooling dad. My kids do basketball, tennis, and that. And like you said before, when we win games, like, man, we celebrate. And when I found myself, like, more often than not, where I'm sore, I don't want to stand up for worship. And then it just takes me back to, like, flip, yesterday I was jumping up and down sore, and I didn't question to jump up and down. And then I was happy to, like, worshiping. I was like, oh, maybe not today. Or just like, and then bang, like, conviction. And I probably won't have that conviction if I was watching from online. Me personally, I probably wouldn't have it if it was online, because I would watch that later, or just swipe, scroll. But that's why I'm here, and that's sort of a picture of why I come to church.
It's beautiful. And I love that you brought up, like, one of the keys to this, I believe, that the Lord wants to remind many of us of, and maybe even just, it might be new information to you tonight, but this is a generational thing. It's actually, you know, I asked you as individual people, single, married, children, whatever that picture is, but I asked you the question for you, like, why do you come to church? But your answer is unveiling something really important to the Lord, that when we make that decision, it's bigger than ourselves. It becomes really apparent when you're a parent, but, you know, you've got this lineage, Ada, and this beautiful legacy, that it became like you didn't know any different, right? But you still have to make that decision, though, beyond routine, beyond, oh, well, this is what I do on a Sunday, this is where I go, and this is what time we enter and what time we leave. It's so much more than that. But like what you're doing is decision you're making for your children, not only in the here and now, but beyond. I can't take credit for this. I heard someone else share this in a similar setting to this. Like I was in a meeting and they were sharing about the impact of, like, if I as an adult and if I have children, if I make a decision that being fully planted in a church community is neither here nor there, and I decide at any given kind of circumstantial season in my life whether it fits in or not, then don't expect any better than that from the next generation. In fact, don't even expect the same. It will go backwards. And it hit me. And I was church, like you said, church was my routine, but I'm like, okay, beyond routine, I'm making a spiritual decision. I'm making a declaration that this is important and that the people watching me, whether it's my own children or people that I'm influencing, whether I realize it or not, are watching me. It's a value system that we either we live out because we believe it's important, or we make a decision that we think that we know better, that there's another option that's better for us. It is really is a decision. Thank you for sharing that. And as you guys were already probably picking up, there's some similarities, but there's some differentiation because we're all different, right? Again, that one I'm going to skip because I'm the pastor, but I am going to share some stories of my own as well as we go. One of the things that comes to people's mind often, especially if you've been in church life for some time, is that the scripture that says those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. That's what a beautiful picture. Plant, house of God, flourish. Cool. Flourish means like to do well, to grow, for things to be healthy. Like that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And also, again, it's not something that just happens. Like when you enter into a building and you come and check something out, it's not going to be an automatic flourish. You know, if I enter the gym and make the decision that exercising is important, I'm not automatically going to be fit, unfortunately. I would have to make the decision to fully decide to commit to that, turn up, do the thing, do it regularly, and then there would be the benefits of that. So that's kind of how I see that in the very practical sense of like if you plant in the house of God, plant means like firmly decide this is where I am in the house of God. And let me just say, as a pastor of Fire Church, this is not about hey, plant in Fire Church. Like, come and be in our church. I love it when people come and come into Fire Church. I love it, but it's not about that. It says nothing about, like, about any names, titles, or positions or people. It's about planting in the house of God. God's house has many locations. Many locations. When Paul wrote letters to churches, he wasn't writing letters to just random families who love the Lord. He was writing letters to churches, places and people that met together, and it was geographical. You know, so we live in different areas and maybe you're here because we're the most local church, maybe whatever the reason is, but this is not about Fire Church, you know. So I'm going to ask another question to my friends up here because, again, I think there's just going to be so much that our church family can not only discover about you and what God's done in your life, but really maybe even some areas where people want to experience the same thing. So my question is, and I might start with Cara this time, is, you know, you've been faithful in church for some time. I've known you before. You've been here at Fire Church. And obviously I've got to know you better over the years. That's what happens when you have community and relationship with people, is that it develops, it grows, it flourishes as well. And so I wanted you to share, I know a bit of it, Cara, but I wanted you to share whatever you feel comfortable sharing, this area of an explanation of your own flourishing experience. You know, you're someone who has planted in the house of the Lord and committed and faithfully served and just been a beautiful picture of, you know, a person that loves the Lord. So what's your flourishing experience? How have you seen that to be true? Have you seen that to be true in your life? And explain some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. That was really beautiful. Being planted in a church, I'm going to make it really practical. It's almost like being on a training ground. And go with me how I explain this. When you're planted in a church, it doesn't mean that you're just here every Sunday. It means that you're actually partnering with the church and you're involved. And that means serving. And whether that is just volunteering to say hello at the front door, to help collect the communion cups after, if it's getting up on stage and singing, if it's helping make coffees, when you serve, you're actually in like training, because you are directly under leadership, and that leadership is always directly under the pastors. And so straight away you have accountability, you have leaders who are able to speak into your life and how able to teach you and to help you grow. It is so important to have people looking out for you. And when you serve, that it just naturally happens. You know, you could be on coffees one morning and you've had an awful week and you come in and one of the leaders, they'll see it. They'll be like, hey, mate, what's going on? You know, and they'll encourage you and they'll love on you. And that opportunity is presented because even though things were going on, you turned up on time, you were there, you were serving. You know, and you also, you learn skills that you actually don't get taught in a lot of other places. Yeah. And you're not taught with grace. The world doesn't have a lot of grace. When you make mistakes in the workplace, when you make mistakes in your studies, there's not a lot of grace. But if you make mistakes in the church, we have amazing leaders who will show grace to you because they want you to learn. They want you to grow. They don't want you to be discouraged. They don't want you to feel like you've stuffed up this time. No, it's not at all like that. Being under leadership, they will love on you. They'll get behind you and they'll support you. Serving and being in the church, you flourish because of that. You flourish because you are surrounded and you are planted. And that's what helps. And that's what I've seen with Raghav and myself. We have grown. I think of who I was as a youth kid to a youth leader, a young adult leader, and now in Fire Church. And now I'm just like, I can't even, it blows my mind. But what was consistent is we always served and we were always planted. We were always partnering and had leadership along the way. Yeah.
So good. And I've definitely seen that. I've definitely witnessed that. And I just wanted to share my a little bit of my when I got this wrong as a younger person. I loved the Lord dearly. I loved Jesus dearly. And I had a personal relationship with him as a young person, as a 18, 19, 20-year-old. But I was not planted in the house of God. And I was attending what I would say, I wouldn't even say services. I was attending, entering a building. Sometimes regularly, sometimes not known for a period of time. Like if someone asked me, what church do you go to? I'd had an answer because there was a truth in sometimes I attended a place that was a Christian church running a Sunday service. But I wasn't always fully there. It was the equivalent of, if this analogy helps, I was in a season, and I'm so glad that the Lord unveiled to me and showed me that this is not good for you. This is not good for you. I have a better way. But he's a good father. But I was in a season of justifying a lot of poor decisions I was making. So deciding that it was easier for me relationally. I got into self-protection mode of like, a lot of people there aren't going to fully understand me. I'm a little bit different to the average Christian. You know, all this self-talk that had actually taken me out of a place where I could flourish. So I'd gone a little bit Lone Ranger, and it wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for me, but I loved the Lord. I loved the Lord, and I loved worship music, and I loved praying, and I loved reading the Word of God, but I didn't have any accountability of making sure that was the blood pumping in my life. It was just kind of like, if things were going good, that's what I'd do, and then I'd get out of that routine. I was not known by any leaders, and I had decided to be on the, what I call on the cusp. You know, when you've got like, something growing, something's good, and you're looking at it, but you're on the outside of it. And another thing, analogy that I want to share that God's shown me, because we are a family, we're a church family, it's like, you know, families often have routines of maybe a weekly dinner or something like that, maybe where everyone comes together, or some kind of routine that's for the purpose of just being together. You can be in a family and fully loved but not turn up. So imagine if there was a sibling or a family member that they've been invited every time at every weekly dinner to come, and there's a place for them, but they decide for many reasons to come just here or there, and maybe they come 3 times a year to that family dinner that they've been invited to every time. They are fully loved, so when they turn up, their family loves them. That didn't change. They're loved, and they share the meal, but they're not known. They've missed everything, and they're trying to then come in, and they're wondering why at the end of that meal they don't feel connected, and then that makes it harder to turn up the next time because of the experience. So anyway, I was in a place where God had to get me out of that, and he had to convict me of the importance of properly being somewhere. Properly. And I can tell you that when I did, I ended up at a very small church where my parents were a satellite of a larger church, and there wasn't many people my age, and there was a few, you know, on paper reasons why I could find a better church than this church, but I knew that's where I needed to plant in that season. And I can tell you that so much of what God, of the good work that God did in my heart, was in that church. God did the work, but it was in that church. It was through those pastors. It was through, like as Cara said, actually like putting my hands in as well. So that's a bit of my, just want to share, like I've been there. I've been in that place of like justifying not fully immersing in. I wanted to go to Atta actually on the next question, because if we don't go to this question, Atta, there's a little bit of a lack of authenticity, I think, in this topic. If I don't ask the next question, We're missing a key to why people maybe don't come into community fully. So my next question is, how have you overcome challenges, if any, of being in a church community? And what would your advice be to those who have experienced challenges in church?
Cool. I reckon, if I'm being straight up, it's like getting over yourself. Like, it's no agenda, just rock up, and we're taking it in, as in, like, sometimes, I'm speaking for me, and sometimes I can come in with, like, my agenda, my headspace is no good, but it's coming through those doors and just letting it go. Like, it, like, try it. As in, like, I could come in with, like, a rough-ass mindset, like, kids could be doing my head in, or I could be, like, injured. Like, you know what I mean? I could come, like, my mindset or headspace could be absolutely rough. And then just surrendering, I reckon, is also another way that I've been able to overcome some of those challenges. And then, sorry, just sort of going back to the other question, or to the last question, and it's also, being planted, like, also creates relationship, and it also, like, your character, and also, which also brings, like, you being yourself. Like, there's no, you can't fraud being in church, straight up. You can't be a fraud, like, you know, like, you know, like, it's spiritual as well. You know, the leaders can, like, see right through you, especially our prayer team. They can be like, you need prayer. I reckon that's one of the biggest things that I've been able to sort of tap into. No agenda, just come. You're here for a reason. And if you need prayer, put your hand up. And for me as well, it's utilizing the elders in the church and being able to tap onto the older heads in the church and the leaders as well. These guys are so approachable. Like, I had a rough patch. Alex reached out. We went out for lunch. Boom, I was like, ooh. I didn't realize a leader comes off here and would take me out for lunch. It's like, you know, we are planted in an awesome church, and we got some awesome elders, the older guys, the older men and stuff like that. So tapping into that, like, everyone in here is so approachable, and which is another reason why I love Fire Church.
So good. Jason, I'm going to ask you the same question. And again, it might be personal stuff. Like, you know, share what you feel comfortable sharing in this space, but it could be challenges you've had or things that you've experienced when you're being in community, right? We're all people. Or maybe you've just witnessed something and, yeah, share on this topic about overcoming challenges that come from being in community, in church community.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this, obviously we're all people at the end of the day. Opinions are like noses. Everyone has one. So, of course, there's going to be times where someone doesn't agree with some aspect of some way something's being done. If there's a way something is being done, someone may... Well, they're probably going to find an issue with it at some stage, and they can. And, you know, I've had a couple instances where people didn't agree with something, like, the church was doing a certain way, and I said, okay, like, well, hey, let's go to the scripture, let's talk about that, you know, let's try and get to the bottom of it, and if I can't resolve it with you, then, and this is a good reference to the podcast done by Pastors Lee and Alex this week on dealing with offences biblically, if you have an issue with someone, just go and deal with it directly. Go straight to that person. Don't let it fester. Don't let it sit in your mind and let ideations and things rise in your mind going, someone's looked at me the wrong way or done something wrong. Just deal with it. I mean, how many times at home, we're all kids once. You have an argument with your sibling and you just stew on it and fester and you're angry at them for ages and you've got this heavy feeling in your gut. There's a reason you feel angry. God gave you a conscience. Mm-hmm. It's convicting you in your heart. Just deal with it. Yeah. Isn't it easier if you just give it up? Why carry all this weight around? You know, the Bible says cast off every weight. He's given you, like, the, what's the scripture about the strongholds? We're bringing down strongholds. We have not carnal weapons, but mighty weapons for breaking down the strongholds. God's equipped you to deal with this stuff. If you have a problem, please speak about it. We are all the church. The church isn't just a house with four walls and a ceiling. The church is the gathering of the body. It's the ecclesia, is the Greek word. It's the gathering of the believers of the body. So if we have friction, just come together, go straight to that person. You can't resolve it. The Bible says take a second back with you. If you can't do it then, okay, go to the elders, go to the pastors of the house, say, hey, look, we've got a problem. Can we please talk through this? Let's walk through it, work through it together, and become masters of conflict resolution. So we can be unified at heart, unified in body, unified in mind. So these instances we were able to talk through and look, I've seen change in people within a conversation where at the moment they're all combative and, you know, they start to tense up in the body. You can see it by body language. But if you just be patient with that person that you're talking to and just work through it slowly, maybe you can't resolve it on the day. Maybe not. Don't go in with an expectation, but go in with the right attitude and the right heart. Yeah. You want to bring that person back. Why? Because then they can be reconciled to Christ at the end of the day, and that's so important. Because we're looking at what's most important is that person's relationship with God at the end of the day.
Yes.
Because we can't carry the burdens, but He can. And it's so much easier when we can hand it over to the Lord and be our best version of Christ's ambassador to that person.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it's going to be tricky. Like, don't get me wrong, it's going to be tough. And we're human beings at the end of the day as well, so we can have our own reactions as well to things. But thank God for His mercy and His grace with us and His long suffering, so He can help us also to get better in this. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. There's still times where I get frustrated or get angry and that sort of thing. It happens anywhere, like not just at church. It can happen in the workplace, or people can tick you off the wrong way maybe one day. But praise God, He's going to help me get better and better at that every day as well. So yeah, church is a great place where we can all do that together. And that's why prayer is so awesome, because we've got a direct line to the King sitting on the throne in heaven. And He doesn't say, knock on the door and I might open it. It says, no, we can boldly run before the throne. Boldly. Does that mean shyly or timidly or nervously He's going to react? No. God's going to give you good things. We just got to ask Him for it. So He'll help you in any of those situations.
So good. So good. And I think too, like with the conflict resolution, conflict comes from like actually having relationship. So if you're, like I shared, if you're on the cusp, you don't really have disagreements and like things to sort out because you're not letting yourself in. You know, you've got to come in. If you want the beauty, if you want the flourish, if you want all that the Lord has for you, like what does come with that is stuff that you're going to have to sort out. Because normally what happens is interactions with people that maybe are good or maybe like, oh, I don't know what they meant by that. Or you know, it brings out stuff in us that God actually has to work on. So if you don't come in, He can't do a lot with that. Yeah, we're holding back. It's certainly true for me. When I was in that season as a younger person, I was holding back. And I think, you know, like the other thing too, when people don't address it, and it does take a lot of bravery for some, and sometimes you need a person to help you and you need the Lord to nudge you a few times, like, you know, deal with that thing. Just go talk to that person. If you don't, and you think that you need to go out of church or even maybe like find another church or create your own little, I'm just going to bring people that never say anything that upset me into a group and call it church. Like if we do that, the same thing pops up. The same thing just pops up again because God has to, it'll come up another way, different person, different scenario. It will come up. And it's like you've actually just held yourself back from dealing with it when God wanted you to deal with it. So it's good for us. It's good for us. And there's growth that only He can do when we are fully, we've got to fully come. We've got to fully come in. We've got to fully commit. We can't be on the cusp. And as we wrap up tonight, and maybe, you know, if you can put it in a snapshot, each of you, in, you know, like a couple of minutes, in a snapshot, which I know can be hard. My question is, and I'm going to hear from each of you as we finish up, how has your personal relationship with Jesus grown and deepened from being planted in church? In a snapshot, maybe we can start with Arthur on this one.
Like, being planted in church, It's an amazing, like, it's an awesome training ground, as in, like, I'm not just coming to receive and stuff like that, but, like, for me personally, it's, like, it's 5% of my walk, of my Christian walk, of my walk of Jesus. And then what I get here then overflows into all the other communities that I'm part of. You know what I mean? That's why I say, like, you can't fraud being in here. You know, Jesus sees right through you. The leaders and the elders see right through you, and they'll keep us in check. And then we learn in here, and then we take it outside into the other communities. Because we're not, now for me, we're not here to just receive Jesus and keep it in the four walls. We're here to take it to the restaurants. To, like, that's why I see rugby. I know I've broken nearly every bone, but that's my ministry. Because I've got testimonies after testimonies of how we serve a living God that is like healing us right now. And then I'm able to share that into the homeschooling communities, and just wherever I go, like we sing "Listen to the Light of Mine" at home, and it's like a sermon every night. Kids, you are the light into the world, and then it also speaks to me every night as well. Like life is, I reckon it'd be pretty hard if it wasn't for if we didn't have Jesus. So. If you don't have Jesus in your life, I encourage you to sort of like think about it and then do it. Also for our young people as well, you know, you guys are in a like the school system, you know, it's rough. Been there, done that. Here's why I homeschool. But yeah, like I encourage you just, you know, seek the Lord. You know, tap into our leaders and the elders in this church. Like grateful for all of you guys as well. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Atta. Cara, how's your personal relationship with Jesus grown from being planted in church?
Massively. There's no chance that I would be the person that I am today without it. No chance. If it wasn't for the leaders, if it wasn't for the friends, if it wasn't for the community that got around me, not just to encourage, but to keep me accountable. That's a huge thing, guys. We live in a world where it's like, you do you, and everyone has to just accept how everyone lives their life. That's not real love. It's not. I'm a tough love person, and I tell my friends when they're getting out of line, because I love them. And being in the church means that you've got people that love you so much that they will tell you when you're out of line. And that's love. You know, it says in 1 John 1:6, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Let's stir each other up. Let's be accountable. Allow leaders, allow others in the church to have a say, because this is such a safe place for that to happen. And encouraging and growth and learning from others, that's what happens here. That's what we do. We just got back from ladies' retreat, and it was amazing. It was so good. It was what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." And you can't do that if you're alone at home. You can't. But when you're here, your iron is sharpening another's. Sorry. Sorry. I can't explain it. It's not, and like Jess said, it's not that we're like, yeah, fire, come to fire. It's be in church. Even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. Because you will grow. You will grow without a shadow of a doubt. You will grow. Sorry. All right.
Aww. Jason, I'm going to pass the mic to you soon, but I'm denied about sharing this from myself, but I think it is important. For a period of time in my childhood, my family were out of church. So this was... Go back. You know, when I shared, there was a time as an adult I decided to sort of come and go. But when I was around primary school age, there was a period of time where my parents were out of church. They loved the Lord. They led me to Jesus. We were out of church and out of routine. And, you know, the longer you're out of being in church, the harder it is. Like, just let me tell you. And... we went through some stuff when I was in high school, and you know, as most families do. And difficult things. And I remember as a young teenager, like craving to be in church, but not being able to get myself there. We'd sort of would pop in places here and there, but again, not plant. God was working on healing some pain that my parents had gone through. And I remember there was a time where my mum, she was like the spearhead of like, let's come on, like to my dad, like let's just find somewhere, let's find a fresh start somewhere, let's go somewhere where no one knows us, and let's just find somewhere, let's just turn up, we'll sit in the back, we'll go somewhere where there's a lot of people so we can do that. And I was around 13, 14 at the time. And I felt this sense of relief because I so wanted that. I don't even know why I wanted to be in church, but I remembered that every time I'd been in church, as a younger person, I felt so safe. Sometimes I'd just fall asleep, like leaning against the shoulder of my parents and not really taking in the sermon, but I felt so safe. And I knew it was like there was a drawing. There was a drawing, but we ended up in a church, in a wonderful church community, and it took some time for us as a family to feel safe and have a level of trust to really, 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 really be there. And I'm so grateful to my parents for making that step of courage to try again. It was in that church that I heard a sermon a couple of years later in high school that I privately, in a service, gave my heart to the Lord as a 15-year-old. I was too shy to put up my hand and too conscious to stand up and certainly was never going to come to the front. But I privately made a decision in that service to give my life, my whole life to the Lord. It was in a church service. It was in a church service. And I know that that could have happened in many other places, and it does. But I testify that the pursuing of the Lord and the drawing into His house, to His people, to Himself and to His people, has bared much fruit. I would not be here sharing this if it wasn't for my parents' decision to try again, to plant again. And it's just my relationship with Jesus is private and intimate, but it's also in community and it's also public. Like you can't just do one of those things. Like if we only did this and I neglected my intimate relationship with the Lord, I wouldn't be flourishing. But if I sat by myself and said, Jesus, all I need is you, because I'm ignoring some of the other things that you're calling me into, I'm also not going to flourish. It's not one or the other. It's not one or the other, but I understand that it takes a bravery. And I hope that my story of my parents planting again encourages you, and maybe some of you online. Jason, can you share with us, how is your personal relationship with Jesus deepened from being planted in church?
It's a very deep question. I think you framed it perfectly in that relationship. Yeah, it's personal, but it's also a private thing. But also, unless it's expressed, you're not going to see any fruit from what's happening in here. And yeah, I can definitely attest to that in my life. And what you described about being on that cusp earlier, that's probably framed a lot of what my Christian life was like earlier on. My relationship with Jesus, I'd say even before I gave my heart to the Lord, it was framed by the prayers of my parents and grandparents that went before me. And I owe a lot to what they would have prayed, but I wasn't even around for it. And now that because of their faithfulness in the Lord, I'm just so grateful, because that's been starting to been manifested in my life over the years since I gave my heart to the Lord when I was younger. And so faith for me, I guess, used to be, yeah, just a really private thing when I was younger. And I guess I was always like, I would have been too anxious to share my faith with anybody. And yeah, I was also battling a lot of like stuff in my life, that sin that God still had to help clean out and deal with. So I had to go through a lot of conviction. And I think a lot of that held me back as the devil using it as condemnation to keep shame and guilt over me during my younger years. And that kept me on the outside of really getting into the thick of church. So it was nothing to do with actually gathering the body, but it was something that's happening that was inside of me. But God had to take me on a journey to recognize that. And I praise Him for His long suffering with me in waiting for me to come to that, to get over myself. Like Ada was kind of saying before, I had to get over myself and I had to give it up to God. And like Kara was saying before, like sharpening iron. We have to come here and be sharpened, otherwise we become dull. Like a dull blade is no good. And my relationship with Jesus has grown in that He's helped get rid of every weight, everything that was holding me back and holding me down. And just as the scripture that Daz shared last week about in Ezekiel, replacing a heart of stone with a heart of flesh, He really has given me a heart of flesh and filled me with love and compassion for not just those around me, but others in the world to see them saved and come to Christ and go into maturity. And I hope that for everybody, not just that walks in the doors of Fire Church, but any house of God, because we really can't do this life without Him. And I owe Jesus everything. He's everything. And without Him, I wouldn't be able to be who I am. Because He made me to be who I am. And He's grown my boldness and sense of trusting Him with more and lent less on my own strength. I'm seeing people get saved that I've known for years and then giving their heart to Jesus and having the honor of coming alongside them and sharing scripture with them and equipping them to go on to glory. And I'm just so excited to see what He's gonna keep doing. Because it's just so amazing to be a part of. And I wouldn't ask for anything more than just more of Jesus.
I'm so thankful to these three for sharing from their hearts. And, you know, the message tonight, this conversation that we've had, if it's left with a call to, hey, please come and be part of a community, without saying, you know, there's something that has to happen first. There's something that has to happen first. And it might, like for me, it might happen in a church service, but there's something really important that has to happen first before any of these beautiful, beautiful, wonderful things that happen in a church community can happen. And that is the giving over, it's the surrender, it's the going, like Jesus Christ, the person who's pursuing, the person who's calling, the person who's leading us to Himself. We have to make that decision first. We have to make that decision before we can say, okay, I better get to church. I can tell you, if you strive to get to church and be known by people, it's not going to go very well for very long without Jesus. He is the rock. Upon Him, it's upon Jesus that any of these good and beautiful, wonderful, fruitful things are built. It's only upon Him. And so as we finish tonight, I just want to invite those, and you may very well want to do it privately, like I did as a young person. I want to invite you, as we all close our eyes right now, we're a family here together. And even if you're visiting tonight, you've been invited to this family table. If you picture a meal, you're invited, you're welcome here, eat with us. Share in this time together, but as a family, as a church community, we're in this precious place of we're not just celebrating the fact that we have friends and we love each other. We're nurturing a safe space of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And every single time we come together, we ask Him to have His way. Every single time we come together, we want God to do what He needs to do. So in this moment, as we come to a close, as we're closing our eyes and focusing on Jesus, if you already know Jesus, just focus on Him right now. But you might be here with your eyes closed, sitting in this seat and listening to this conversation with this panel that we've done tonight. And maybe you haven't fully given yourself over to Jesus yet. I don't want you to give yourself over to a church. I want you to give yourself over to Jesus. I want you to listen to the essence of this message, which is upon Jesus Christ, the rock, the cornerstone, will He do this good work of building His church. There's nothing we can do without the foundation of Jesus. And it's a giving over. And I know many of us in this room, not just us here up on this stage, but many of us know that all of the good that He wants to do, your good Father wants to do good things in your life, but it has to start with a giving over. It's a surrender. It's what we call salvation. When we give ourselves to the Lord, He saves us. He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from sin. And He saves us from an eternity without Him. So from wherever you are right now, with your eyes closed, if you know that you need to give yourself over to Jesus Christ, you're in a place right now, a really good place to do that. Now is a perfect time. Don't wait for a better time. Now is the perfect time. And I want to invite you to privately or publicly, which might just be a raising of your hand or standing up from your seat. I want to invite you that you can do that tonight. You can give your heart to Jesus Christ and you can have every wonderful blessing and every promise that you've heard tonight. You can have that. But you need to give yourself to Jesus before you give yourself to any routine, to any church, to any community, to any leader. You have to give yourself to Jesus first. So if that's you, now is the perfect time. If you've never done this or it's been a long time and you've been away from Jesus and you don't have that private, intimate relationship with Him anymore, now is the perfect time to come back to Him. Surrender again. And I'm just going to pray. And you can repeat after me. And if this is the perfect time for you, repeat after me. And as a church family, we're going to encourage one another. And we're going to pray this together. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Jesus, for what You did for us. You died on the cross for us, and You rose again for our freedom. Lord, You created me, and God, You want the best for me. So tonight I give myself to You. And I ask You to do what You need to do. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new creation. I surrender my life to You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. I am Yours. You are mine. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just do one more thing and maybe my friends tonight. You've shared, you've been ministering tonight. If we stand together, because we're going to just be available in this space, we might come down to the floor. If that was you, you're in a safe place. And if you feel safe to do this, if you prayed that prayer for the first time tonight, or you've come again to the Lord to rededicate again, we invite you to come into this area. And as a team tonight, we're just gonna offer prayer for you if you need prayer. Because as a church, we want to know if you've done that, because as a church, we want to help you in this journey. We don't want you to be alone. We really don't want you to be alone. We want you to fully understand what you've done and where the Lord's leading you after this decision. So if that was you, I want you to be brave if you can. And I want you to come down to the front. And we as a team, we're just going to pray for you. And if you need prayer for anything else, I'm going to invite you to come to this area as well. So if that's you, come now. And as a church, let's just encourage those who are coming to the front. So good. So we're going to come down to the front and we're just going to spend some time in prayer with these champions here, these brave ones. And if you need any other prayer for anything, please come and we'll be ministering. Thank you, Lord. Can we just thank again our panel speakers tonight for sharing from their hearts? Thank you so much.